Testies. 1, 2, 3.
Oddball. No, just two. Just two. Please.
Come on, dude.
Judas Priest?
Nope.
Who is it?
John Kaiser. Original, baby.
Grant Woods.
Local.
Two? Grant Woods theme.
This is the theme?
You want to sign him, don't you?
This your song? I thought you wrote Johnny Cash music.
I did everything, man. You know that.
So
kind of if I write just for Johnny
Cash,
you're
going to watch it. Joe Satriani's going to sue you for this.
Yes. It does sound kind of lifted, doesn't
it's
it?
It's got a little Satch thing
it
there.
It does.
Kind of
REO
Speed, kind of REO Speedwagon meets Mott the Hoople meets...
Mott the
might be a little Head East in there.
Yeah. Never been any reason.
Ah, good reference.
Yeah.
Head East.
All right.
They played at my down. Frat house.
Did they really?
Right before they made it. In the basement of my frat house. Right
what?
Before.
Head East.
Where have been any reason?
Okay, we're on. It's the show. Welcome to the show, everybody. Appreciate it. And, hey, boom, we're off.
Hard to read through this.
Okay. Hey, put that down.
God, he's sending me dirty text pages.
That's
all.
Perv. We have the perv, Danny Zalisco, in the house this week.
That's why he showed up.
Very desperate. Trying to read Carrie's, trying to get some lewd photo off Carrie's phone. I mean, that's how lame he is.
I buy him off the internet, by the way.
She's amazing. The only girl I know that carries nude pictures of her husband around.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Actually, why?
A little more than I wanted to see.
I know
see.
A lot of guys that have pictures of Rich, but.
Yeah. You want to buy some?
Yeah, remember that.
Don't know, yeah. These are the oldest jokes. Come on, dude. Wow.
Thank you.
Okay, so anyway, Mark Cordes, Carrie Dozer, and big Memorial Day weekend, I'm sure. Did you all do some things in honor of the veterans?
I went to Flagstaff in honor of the veterans.
Yeah, flag.
Oh, God. La-dee-da.
I did.
Oh, flag? No.
I did a
flag,
show with
not Flagstaff.
I did a show with Fleetwood Mac. I honored the veterans.
No, that doesn't count either.
No.
Oh, there are a lot of there's a lot of nostalgia going on with your shows this weekend. Fleetwood Mac, who else?
No Doubt. That wasn't too nostalgic.
No, I don't count that.
Fleetwood Mac, back who was it?
That. Someone else besides Fleetwood Mac. Wasn't there another group in the last week that was... kind of old school.
I had a show of Sticks in REO in 38. That was old school.
Okay, well, let's go to No Doubt. Let's tell us something about Gwen Stefani.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm a big fan of hers.
There couldn't be a nicer person.
Than Dwight Yoakam?
She's much nicer than Dwight. Dwight could go to the Gwen Charm School, if you ask me.
Yes.
She's very, very cool. They're on a tour that's selling everything
great.
That they're doing out. And they're being very smart about it. Their tickets are $10 or $15 on the lawn. Instead of charging $30 or $40 mm-hmm. like a lot of people do, it's like a little value. Great show,
great.
And it was a really fantastic show. Fleetwood Mac was also great, and of course, you need to come to Joe Cocker next week.
Well, where's he at?
He'll be at the Dodge on the 7th.
That'd be
really,
a good show.
Week from Sunday. Really, you guys should all come. I have tickets.
I'm going to a show Saturday, and it's probably not your show. So don't be mad at me.
Tell me who it is.
Don't be mad at
me. I'll tell you after you tell
me. Lucinda Williams.
Oh, that's a good one. Where's that at? Mesa?
Mesa. I've never been out there.
Enjoy it with the other five people there. But it'll
the cool thing is...
No, she's fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
I love
she
her.
Awesome.
Yes, you're at...
Yeah, right? Why that venue, do you think?
Well...
someone paid her?
Real musical type of artist. They need to be in the performing arts theaters, and that's one of the... You know, that and the Orpheum are the mm-hmm. two nicest ones that okay. I'm aware of. The Scottsdale Hall's nice, but isn't used that often.
Right. Orpheum's gorgeous.
Yeah,
if I do say so.
I
you know, my dad did the remodel
that.
Of that.
Wow,
great
yeah.
job.
Yeah, he did do a great
By
job.
By the way, here's the upside for seeing the show. You're going to the Mesa Center of Performing Arts.
Yes,
I opened there for Kenny Rogers a couple of years ago. And here's the cool thing.
Oh, great!
If you want a drink at any point during the show,
yeah.
no line.
And they have a nice bar.
I went up there, and the bartender's like sitting down, and I go. Are
no
you
way.
Open? He goes, yeah, we haven't had anybody. I'm like, are you kidding me? He goes,
no,
what do you want?
Yeah. Well, it's catered by the Third Ward. I don't
yes.
know if you knew that.
After
so,
seeing Kenny's facelift, you would need a cocktail.
I know, you know, skinny. I told him.
So bad call.
Well, he's about 100.
Yeah, but he looks yeah, like he looks
really doesn't
bad.
Look good.
He looks like he should have played the brother in The Wrestler.
He just looks constantly
really.
Surprised.
He does. It's really
really constantly awestruck.
Surprised. I told him, you got to know when to hold him, Kenny. Because...
Was he nice?
Super nice.
He's a
I'm
good
a
guy.
Fan of Kenny Rogers.
He was backstage in...
he's had a long career. I used to like the first edition
first
way
edition.
Back when, you know, and so...
He had
just
he had like
it.
On traveling kind of sweatpants kind of thing when I first met him, and he said,
mm-hmm.
are
sweatpants.
You he goes, well, you know, like casual.
Yeah.
Means
like
you've given
workout
up,
gear.
Yeah, right.
And he goes, he goes, "Oh yeah, you're the opening act. Great, you know, great." And then he goes, somebody said, "Can I get a picture with you and Mark?" And he goes, "Let me get all dressed up first."
Oh, he didn't want to have the cash.
Yeah, and so he
is
came
he
out
fat or something?
No, he looks great, man.
He had everything sucked out too.
When you know what else was cool? He would ask the audience questions. He said, "You don't even want to be here." He points to a guy in the front row. Mm-hmm. He goes, "You're just here because of her, right?" And he would ask questions, and if anybody knew the answers to him, he'd throw them $20 bills.
No way.
And he was winging it out there, and he goes, "You people think I'm kidding? I'm rich."
And that he was just throwing, very strange
was,
act.
No, it was awesome. He was like, wow. "Name a song I did," and this guy's like, "The Gambler." He goes, "There's $20."
Wow.
Awesome. So he perked up.
Yeah, he was awesome. He's cool.
I saw the Kenny Rogers first edition at Celebrity Theater in like 1970 or something, 71.
Was it the Travelodge then, or was it really the Celebrity?
No, it was the Celebrity. Yeah, early on.
That's what it was called.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Little tidbit.
No Lucinda for you?
No.
You know she's great, though.
I do. I booked her one time, and unfortunately, I think it went away because just it was a little early, I guess, for her to perform here. This is a rough market with regards to really, really great musical acts that will work in other cities because they're kind of cultural hubs. Phoenix, unfortunately, has no AAA radio station that would play a Lucinda Williams.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
So any real musical excellent acts, I have a hard time promoting.
Not like
her.
In the old days, the KDKBs. And
right. I mean, you know, they're a hard rock station for the most part.
Right, right.
You know, everybody's got their genre of what they do, and it doesn't leave much room for true heroes.
Now, Tom Waits fits in that category, and
he kind of supersedes it.
But he
all
does, though, because he's...
You know, I mean...
That was big, and that was your show.
Yeah, do you remember how he announced that show? He did a thing on YouTube.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. I think it's probably still up on there, about him holding his own press conference.
Right.
And
I bought the little
thing.
He
was taking questions from an empty auditorium.
Right.
From
me. I bought the interview where he interviewed himself.
Yeah.
And it is so damn funny. And it starts out, he has a little, just like if you're doing a regular interview, "Hey, I was really nervous because I'd heard so much about him, you know, the positives," then he lists all these things, and the negatives, then, and he puts, you know, and then he just asks himself questions. Yeah. Yeah, the guy is
I wish he would come around more often.
Yeah. But the fact he came to Phoenix was a big deal.
Yeah, you know, and recently also a couple other shows that I saw that were great was Leonard Cohen. We didn't promote it, but he was wonderful, and Eckhart Tolle was, believe it or not, I never heard of
Eckhart Tolle.
He's the writer. He's the Power of Now. Mm. And I actually went and sat through 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah, my wife was quite surprised. And I actually...
Did she go too?
I still quote it, you know.
Really?
It's like, you know, it's like, you know, there's one line where he goes, "When you get into your car, sit there for 30 seconds before you turn it on."
Not in Phoenix.
Right? Yeah. So I'm sitting there, she's in there all dressed up, makeup, everything. And she's going, "Turn on the car." I go, "What are you doing?" I said, "Eckhart." And I just sit there.
Yeah.
Turn the car on.
Yeah, that doesn't work here.
How can the Power of Now take 2 hours? It just seems contradictory. Yeah.
Well, you know.
The power of 2 hours from
the
now.
Next moment doesn't, the next moment doesn't matter.
Who is this guy?
Oh, he's a very, very, very popular, writer. You could use some of it.
You've heard of him, too?
Absolutely.
Have you heard of him?
Some of it. Grant, yes.
You have. All three of you have heard of him.
All the people that aren't wearing a suit have heard of him.
Have you heard of him?
We have a lot of time
Seth
on our
hands. Seth hasn't heard of him. Kendra, have you heard of him? Okay, no.
He's
the
very
cool people
Grant,
heard
when
of
you
him.
Want to know about this stuff, come to the intellectual.
But who is he? Is he like one of these phony
he's kind of like the secret.
EST you know what? Guys, the you secret? Know,
he's kind of like a Dolly guy. I mean, his people revere him.
Really?
It's amazing.
I'm a Danny guy.
Hey, a woman.
I revere Danny.
Oh, I love her. More than you know, God.
Wow.
This guy is
awkward.
Awkward moment.
I was channeling Harvey Korman there. I was channeling a little Harvey there.
Harvey.
But the woman comes out before the show starts, and she's got a little podium there that disappears magically, and she goes, "Instead of clapping for him, just be quiet."
Oh, what a bunch of shit. You couldn't have paid me to go to that.
You would have loved it.
Oh, God.
2 hours of
that shit.
2 hours of it.
Yeah, picture Dr. That. Wayne Dyer.
Yeah.
Sounds
walking
great.
Barefoot.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, barefoot out there.
I watch him on PBS.
I know, that guy.
Dude, you're freaking me out.
Yeah, I watched. Did you watch the last one? I watched part of it where he'd gone to Hawaii for a year.
Well, the last one I watched was the last one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I watched because I started, let's check it out.
Right, right.
The guy's very popular. And let's see what he's got to say. You can always learn something. No.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, he's, that guy's. No. Wow, that's crazy. So where was this thing?
It was at the Dodge.
Oh, really?
2,500 people, 3,000 people. It was a very big crowd.
I can't believe
and,
it.
And I think
I'm
we,
not
And you know what was weird is we
power
left,
up now.
We left the Diamondbacks game mean? And went there, and I was thinking
that's
maybe
a mistake.
I swear to God, I texted Kirk Gibson and my good friend Bob Melvin at the time, and I said, "Bring the whole damn team over here.
they could use it.
The
yeah.
power of a swing, you know." Mm-hmm.
Well, they're back. They're back.
They're playing back. Much better.
Playing much better.
Much
yeah.
better.
A little meltdown.
Closing guys are leaving
they
a little bit
a little
to be desired.
Bullpen's a little scary.
I got two words for the Diamondbacks. Lefty.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the lefties?
Is that two words?
Yeah.
Lefty pitching?
Yeah.
Lefty pitching?
Yeah.
Well, one of them, you know, has had a tragedy in his life, so he's not going to be back. And the other one is absolutely horrible.
Slate
is the worst pitcher I've ever seen in my life. Wow. He came in yesterday.
You don't like him?
Can't stand that guy. He's so friggin' bad. He came in yesterday, and they go, well, Slayton got his out. One pitch hit out of a cannon, fortunately, right at somebody. But no, that
I love that. I love that Max.
He's going to
be a great one.
He
had a game yesterday. That was fantastic.
Two things drive me crazy about the D-backs.
Yeah.
Way more
Only
than two.
Only two.
Way
yeah.
more than two. But mm-hmm. do we take more called third strikes than any team ever? Ever.
We need to.
I'm sure there's a statistic.
At least hack at it.
Call Elias. They'll
have
it.
Oh, no. I have a stat. I have a stat that. Well, I have two stats. And we don't want to dwell on Diamondbacks for our out-of-state listeners every week. But we have to because it's part of my punishment each week is follow the Diamondbacks.
Because I'm a fan.
I don't miss a game.
Signing up
okay,
for all
no, I got sorts two, of I got two classics. One is this. The on-base percentage, okay, the lowest on-base percentage in the history of baseball, okay, for people who qualify, not five at-bats, but people who qualify, in the history of baseball is 222. As we speak on Wednesday afternoon, Chris Young is at 215.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying he's gonna break the record.
He needs the power of
but that. But that's bad, isn't it? When in the history
been,
of baseball.
He's been atrocious. Thankfully, he's
yes,
starting
he
to hit again.
Yes, he has. Although his defense is great, but
nice
that
catch.
Cut it.
Nice catch last
oh
night.
Oh, my God, against
well,
the
as Seth knows, I think our manager made a rookie mistake. I won't dwell on it for non-baseball fans, but he made a double switch in the game before last, which was a real bonehead move. And I did text Seth at the time that this is a bonehead move, and just when you're ahead 7-3, which we were at the time, you don't take out defense. And he took out defense because he wanted to get the extra bat. Oh, you don't need an extra bat when you're up by four. And if you're gonna and if you really have to have that extra bat in the eighth inning, hello, then you could have taken Tracy out, move Reynolds over to first, Roberts at third. Instead, he took Chris Young out. Now, the bad karma of the Diamondbacks is, well, you do that, 99 times out of 100, nothing's going to happen.
Nobody notices.
What happens? Base is loaded, fly ball, deep right center, and Parra can't get to it. And then last night, the exact same situation for ball game, and Chris Young got
well,
to it.
Well, it was just spooky.
I thought Gonzalez, that ball was gone.
Gonzalez comes up with a base load, and they're sitting there reciting on the air, this is the greatest hitter in
yeah,
baseball today.
Yeah,
and
thank
and
you.
Going,
17
oh,
homers.
Help
Did
me.
You read the paper today, though? Mm-hmm. They said Gonzalez popped up. In
no.
the inning.
Yeah, that was a
he popped went to
up.
The wall. I thought
it was
gone.
At the wall.
I was sure it was
Look
gone.
At the Arizona Republic. It said it, they popped up.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Okay, so that okay, there's one stat, and I have to keep doing this. I'm going to do it every week just to rub it in to our old friend. By the way, what happened to him after all that?
Where is
really
Tony?
Bad.
After all of
He's
that.
He's still around.
Okay.
I love Tony.
I had the big debate with the team president, right, about Tony Clark,
yep.
And then everyone thought I was going to have to eat shit because he hit two home runs his first game.
Has not
he
been
had a
heard
hit.
From since.
He's long gone.
Tony,
witness protection
anyone?
Program. No. Here's my stat, and I love this, and this is our stat. I'm pushing this everywhere I can. It is coming up. Next Monday's June 1st. We're at the end of May, right? The end of May. Second place, tied for second in home runs at Chase Field this year, is Adam Dunn.
Perfect.
Who's not on the team?
Three games.
He's not on the team.
I'll tell you what, though.
Does that say it all?
I cursed him a hell of a lot more than I praised him last year.
Well, you're dumb.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
Come on.
Two nights ago, grand slam. Yeah, look at the stats.
This year.
Yeah, this
year. Where's
he
playing?
Huh?
Where's he playing?
So what?
Well, he wasn't doing that last year.
Yes, he was.
What'd he do?
He had 40 home runs and 100 RBIs.
How many here?
For the fifth year in a row. That's not good enough?
He was only here for 3 months, wasn't he?
That's not good enough?
good.
Hey, I don't know 40 and 100 is not good enough?
I don't know why you complain. Our cleanup hitter's got two home runs. Stephen Drew has two.
And batting 180.
Brent's got three.
And batting 180. Yeah. Now, how about that, though? They don't re-sign Adam. What if you would have told the team, okay, the guy who's going to be second place in home runs June 1st at Chase is a guy not on your team.
Yeah.
Oh, it must be someone on the Dodgers, Manny. No, it's a guy who played four games. Yeah. Jesus
three
Christ.
Games, four three. Home runs in three games.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Three games, four home runs in three games. Mm-hmm. Classic.
And thank God they got rid of Scott Hairston, too. Mm-hmm. He's only hitting 320.
Yeah.
Carlos well, Quentin. You know, Morad, if you look at San Diego, they've got three Diamondback rejects, and they're starting eight. Mm-hmm. And two of them they can keep. I don't know why Chris Burke's playing, although he hit a home run off.
He was fun last night.
He sucks. He's terrible. I got if Morad really wants the Diamondback players, we got a couple more he could have.
He just couldn't decide whether he wanted the Diamondbacks or the Padres, so he
yeah,
wants them
so
both.
He wants
That's
them both.
Right.
Okay, last on that, I want the Diamondbacks to go get Matt Halliday. I think he's going to be available. Oakland sucks. He would rather play in the National League, I bet. Eric Burns can go back to Oakland and live.
Would that be a great straight up? Can we just get rid of Eric Burns?
And I, no, not
Matt
straight
Halliday?
Up. I'll give him
Roush.
Four or five other guys.
I'll give him
Roush, Slayton, take almost your pick of players. I'll give you cash. I'll give you future picks. Give us Halliday, take Burns, and a whole.
On
group
a positive
of
note, I like Parra.
Parra's great.
He can hit.
And
He's
how about Mark Reynolds is on
oh, Ryan
fire.
Roberts.
Ryan Roberts wow. is hitting like crazy.
Mark Reynolds is
our
the
starting
perfect,
pitching's good. We're okay.
He's the perfect sports center guy because Mark Reynolds will strike out three times.
Yes.
But then he'll hit the three-run bomb, and that's yeah. that's the highlight.
Yeah, it's what he did yesterday.
I know. That's what I mean. It's yeah. like you don't see the three strikeouts.
No, I know. Okay, well, now let's go on. We have to talk about the Supreme Court here.
Okay.
And the
talking basketball?
We're no. we're skipping the other sports. the president made his I had very fun morning to start out my week yesterday on Wednesday, so it was Tuesday. Yeah, I had agreed the day after Memorial Day to play tennis at 6 a.m. And so that kind of ruined my Monday night, like, oh God, you got to get up at 6 a.m. And you know, I woke up three times.
This is hard.
Yeah, and I get there at 6 a.m. and the fourth in doubles didn't show. So at 6:15 I was home. Waiting for the president's announcement so I could watch it. Not what I had in mind. But anyway, I am glad I got to see it. And he picked Sonia Sotomayor from New York. And, you know, it's very interesting to see the results of this. If those of you who check out our daily reads on the website, you saw about 2 weeks ago the Republicans, there was a great article that we posted on there that the Republicans already had their not only their talking points, but had commercials prepared for a list of about eight possible Supreme Court picks. So whoever Obama picked, immediately they could be out there with, oh, not her, she's too whatever, fill in the blank, you know, which, you know, just shows you. So
is that unusual or is that pretty much status quo?
No, that's unusual, I think. For example, well, generally doesn't come, here's the thing. I'm not saying some Democratic groups wouldn't do that, like People for the American Way and, you know, some of the Soros groups and stuff. They might have done that. I don't remember them doing that on John Roberts. They might have done that on Alito. I don't know. But they weren't ready like that and gunning for bear like that. But those are not – that's not the mainstream Democratic Party, in my view anyway. Some people may disagree with that. But this is pretty much mainstream Republican Party, and they were, you know.
Well, it's all that's left.
Whatever's right left, it was jumping out there, Limbaugh acting like a jackass. The point is, I think, John McCain made it very clear in the campaign, elections have consequences. And just as George W. Bush picked Alito, who is very, very conservative, I think a poor choice, in my view. I thought Roberts was a nice choice, but Alito, you know, too far to the right for me. But it's the president, Bush won, he gets to pick. That's how it works. And Alito was clearly qualified. And Sotomayor is clearly qualified.
Clearly.
She has more experience, more federal judicial experience than any candidate, any nominee in the last 100 years.
Perfect.
And, and then you look just politically, it was actually a brilliant choice by Obama. She was appointed by Bush 1. A number of the senators have already voted yes on her and her previous approval processes. What are they going to say now? Now they're against her all of a sudden. She's got a fantastic personal story, which is great. She's Latina, and it's about time. I think we talked about this before. Twice I wrote President Clinton when he had his choices and asked him to appoint, whoever he appointed, appoint an Hispanic to the bench. It's long overdue. He didn't do it. Bush never did it. So here we are. It's 2009. We finally have
Bush
Latina.
Wanted to, though, right?
Hmm?
Bush wanted to with Estrada.
No.
The guy from Chips?
Yeah. Eric Estrada.
No,
he wasn't qualified.
No, Johnny
Estrada.
They felt
he wasn't qualified.
Tough crowd.
No, so he went with Harriet Myers, who is slightly more qualified than Ponch. No, think about that, Bush.
When
you talk about lame choices, honestly. I mean, here's Sonia Sotomayor. I mean, extremely qualified. And Bush chose Harriet Myers. It's like, the guy is really unbelievable to me. It's like, okay, we need Surgeon General. How about, I got my GP, he's good. He's a good guy. I like that guy. Hey, we need a Supreme Court Justice. Well, how about my lawyer? She did up my will. She's fantastic. Let's put her on. Come
great.
On, dude.
She's great in probate court.
What the hell? The lame. Even the Bushies couldn't go for that one.
The guy that started LegalZoom. Let's put him in.
What's with that guy? That is. When is that going to go bankrupt?
LegalZoom? Never. It's making a gazillion dollars.
Is it? Oh. Is it doing well?
Yes.
I can't imagine.
What
that.
Is it LegalZoom?
It's like you get all your documents online.
You can do everything online.
You don't need a lawyer.
Be your own lawyer. You don't need a lawyer.
Yeah, that'll work
out. Jeff Phillips running that?
No, he is. he's the next step up from LegalZoom.
You probably dated the guy that started LegalZoom.
Denny Crane.
At some point.
Danny, did you know Kara used to date Jeff Phillips?
I did not know that.
Yes.
Thanks.
Your friend?
Yes.
The guy you talk to me about all the time?
He was...
No.
Denny Crane.
He was firm and aggressive. So what is their deal?
He was aggressive.
Was he?
Not firm?
Sorry. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Did you ever check his briefs?
Hey, but seriously.
False.
But seriously. Anyway.
Tip you later.
So, what did you all think? Mark, you mentioned.
Did you really?
The one reaction I didn't like actually was from the left on Sotomayor, and that is, it was in the paper today that some people in the Mexican-American community wish he would have nominated a Mexican-American.
Oh.
Wasn't good enough that we finally get a Latina.
We want one from our neighborhood.
Yeah, no, come on.
That's Max.
Eric Estrada's
taking
Max calls
of,
right now.
That's Max of Alec Baldwin.
That's like when I'm watching the NBA playoffs. If there's a white guy on the floor, mm-hmm. I'm just happy. I don't care if he's from my hometown.
You like the Birdman?
Yeah, wow.
But you know what?
The bird,
it is funny. Yeah, I mean, for example, the Cubans who I spent quite a bit of time with. I'll just say, not the particular Cubans that I spent time with, but in general Cubans.
Yeah, the Cubans.
Talk about his home life again.
No, the Cubans, they might have a few cracks to make about Puerto Ricans.
Oh.
When we were in Costa Rica, all the guys were coming up and talking to my wife about, immediately they walk up, you're Cuban, aren't you? I mean, I don't know how they knew, but they go, beautiful women from Cuba, not like those Nicaraguans. Everyone's got to have somebody to shit on,
sure.
You know? Like, why the Nicaraguans? I mean, I don't know. And the Nicaraguans, I'm sure they have somebody they don't like, so I don't know. So the Mexicans are going, not a Puerto Rican. Give me a break, will ya? I mean, come on. So I think it was a good choice, and I think it's going to...
I think it's a done deal.
I imagine she'll sail through. They, obviously they already had the YouTube clips. They came up with a couple of, cracks she'd made that weren't, the greatest. But
flag burning or anything like that.
Well, not that we know of, and I'm sure we would have heard of that.
She's probably got a tax problem, though, right?
Well, if she fits in with the rest of the administration, she probably does.
It's part of the deal, isn't it?
She seems to be... it's interesting that apparently she's a... and we get a lot of these in public life now. She was divorced a long time ago, and so she's just on her own and a workaholic and keeps to herself. And I don't know. There's a lot of those. Suitor, who she's replacing, is right in the same ballpark.
Really.
No, he's very odd, I think. Personally, a good guy, but odd. She's not odd. She just fits that. Jenna Napolitano's like that. Not married, a workaholic. I kind of in the same mode. The professional woman who who, you know, her whole life seems to be, you know, work for the most part.
Well, I mean, if you had married and had children, you wouldn't be a federal appeals court judge, and you wouldn't have been promoted twice and confirmed by the Senate because you'd be at home.
Yeah.
Or
well,
that's a real
problem.
At least half the time you'd be at home. So
that's a real problem.
Yeah, maybe we're not going to get those kind of women for a while. Until some men step up. God damn it. Something around the house. Shit.
No, you're right. That's
That'd be a hard gig
a
to
real problem
off.
For career women is they're not seen as team players if you actually spending half your time at home, God forbid. Although the guy can
get
do
away
his
with
thing.
It.
I think the one thing to watch for on her, people have been pointing it out, obviously, is she is right smack dab in the middle of her, probably in the middle of her hearings, is going to be this firefighter case coming down from the U.S. Supreme Court. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they reversed, which would mean, in effect, they were reversing her decision, although she was one of three, I guess. But we'll have to see what it is. If that was a 9-0 reversal, that would be a little odd. Nothing's going to stop her, I don't think, other than some personal thing that comes up. But if it's 5-4, Republicans will try to make a big deal about that, but no one's going to care because Souter will be in the five. Or in the four, rather, in that situation. If it's reverse 5-4, her vote would have been the same as Souter's. So her vote is the same as the person she's replacing. So what's the problem? You know. And so who knows? And these affirmative action cases are a little tricky anyway. So
yeah.
Anyway, and she's by the way, on criminal law issues, she's very apparently she seems to be fairly
she's
pro
a prosecutor,
prosecution.
Wasn't
she?
Yeah.
So she's no right down the line card carrying liberal. Now speaking of liberal issues, though. Yesterday, the people were looking for the court choice, for sure, but they were also looking in California, and the gay community, I think, really had their hopes up that the California Supreme Court was going to knock down Prop 8, and they did not do so. They kind of split the middle there. They said anyone who's been married in the meantime, the marriages are good, but the voters say no, same-sex marriage, so it's out. And any thoughts on that? What do you think about the whole gay marriage thing? Let me just throw it out this way, because this issue, I think, is changing more quickly than anything I can remember in recent history in this country. In that, I would say 10 years ago, the support for gay marriage was pretty low. And it seems to... I think we're going to be to the point pretty quickly where the majority favors gay marriage. And
you can get married.
Why is that?
You can have gay marriage in Iowa. So if all these Californians really want to get married, just
move to Iowa.
Green
Acres. Right. All the gay community of California is about to move to Iowa.
Gay
right.
That's like Acres is the place for me.
Is that the closest place?
No.
Isn't there something closer than Iowa?
What about Oregon? It's very liberal. Do they allow gay
Oregon?
Marriage?
Oregon? I don't know.
And you can kill yourself in Oregon, too. But you can't pump your own gas.
That is true. You cannot pump your no self-serve gas in Oregon.
It's just
why is that?
Because you can kill yourself, but you
there's
can't.
There's a
lot
of
know.
Jokes in that one, isn't it?
When I pump used your to work up there, like,
yes.
You get out of your car and they're like, no,
get in there.
Sorry,
I'm sorry, I'm just passing through.
That's right, just passing gas.
Why would they have a
through?
Law?
Because they don't want. They want to protect
it's
the middleman.
It's an employment issue.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that comes out with wipes your blades, stupid. Wiper blades down.
It's a skilled labor pool in Oregon.
You
know,
Oregon's got a lot of crazy ideas.
You know what? I kind of believe it's not often that I'm quoting. Elton John.
Yes.
But did you hear what he says about the gay marriage thing?
No.
He thinks it's much ado about nothing. He says, you know what? When they said, what do you think about America? You can't be in a gay marriage. He said, that's good. He said,
but
you
he's
guys
rich.
Are no, he goes, we just, my, you know, his boyfriend, he said, we just
partner.
Have a civil union.
Yeah, right.
And then that just, you're placing too much emphasis on the marriage thing.
Well,
right?
It just depends on your perspective of what marriage is. Is marriage a religious covenant or is it a civil union? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't need to be religious if you're not a religious person to begin with. So fine, leave it. So do whatever you want. I could care less who gets married. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference to me or my marriage, so go for it.
Well, I think the point on both sides of it, though, is the people who feel strongly about it on both sides is that marriage means something. And so the word marriage means something. Now, you can disagree with that, but but they say it does mean something. And so if it didn't,
why would anyone
I
get
agree
married?
That it
right,
does.
Why would anyone care? So it's not just a contract and all that. Marriage connotes something. So on the one side, you're saying, well... No, that it means a man and a woman. So if you wanted, if it's going to be same sex, fine, go ahead, do the civil union. It's something else, but it's not a marriage. On the other hand, the reason I think, so you say, well, why the Elton John types, why doesn't everybody agree with him on the gay side? The reason they don't is because they say it does mean something, and you should recognize our rights here. We should be able to do it just like you guys can. So
I think if
the
people of California vote on it, then I don't think the Supreme Court has a right to overturn it.
Well, I agree with that. See, I think
it's
a state issue.
It's same not thing, even close.
Same thing in Arizona. You know, we passed it last time. It's marriage is between a man and a woman. That's the way it is. You know, again, it's amazing what happens in this country, how people forget what the United States is all about. And what the United States is about is United States. Okay, it's not, we just don't have a federal government. We have states. And there are some things that cross state lines, and there's a need for a federal government and all that. But from the beginning, the power of the states and the ability of the states to control their own destiny in some areas was important. And it's still important. And I wrote this article in the Arizona Attorney magazine this month about this. It's amazing how the Arizona Constitution is different than the U.S. Constitution in many areas. And if you looked at it, I think you might be surprised at some of the things that our founding fathers in Arizona put in there. They give you, I think, more rights in some areas. Mm. And you can see how it's reflected. For example, it doesn't say you have a right to bear arms, to form a militia, like the Second Amendment. So now we have all these questions. In Arizona, it says you have a right to gun ownership or to bear arms to protect yourself. Well, that's different. That's much more expansive. Mm-hmm. You have free speech rights. Not that Congress can't. In the federal constitution, it says Congress shall pass no law to abridge your freedom of speech. In Arizona, it says every citizen has free speech and the responsibilities that go with it. Well, that's different. So that means when you're in the workplace, for example, your employer has to allow you your free speech rights because it says in the Arizona Constitution. Not forget what Congress can or can't do. It says you as an Arizona citizen have these rights. So there's a whole number of those things. My point is states still should be free to do whatever they want to do. Now, the Arizona Constitution until recently wasn't even taught in the law school at Arizona State or U of A. It's not taught really at undergrad. People just assume, so here's the lawyers, for example, at the law schools, and they're just assuming that, well, if I have a search and seizure issue, if I have a free speech issue, if I have a gun ownership issue, well, we look at the federal law. No. And, you know, our friend Rebecca Birch, who when Carrie and I were at the AG's office, she was the chief deputy, she is in about 2 weeks going to be the chief justice of the Arizona Supreme Court. And she says, as does her predecessor, soon-to-be predecessor, Chief Justice McGregor, I wish Arizona lawyers would bring these issues to us. I wish they'd quote the Arizona Constitution to us. Talk about Arizona and what rights you have in Arizona. But lawyers don't do it. And if the lawyers don't bring it up, then the court can't deal with it.
Right.
It's a pretty weird situation. But I think it's, so anyway, that's a roundabout way of going to, I do believe it's a state right. And if in Arizona we want to say, I don't think it's a federal constitutional right. If Arizona we say yes or no, whatever you say, that's the way it is in Arizona. Go somewhere else then.
And like in California.
Go to Iowa.
Yeah, like California, I think it's 70% are opposed to same-sex marriage. So I think they, like you said, they've come a long way in 10 years. I think mm-hmm. if they wanted to sway more people to their side, there's more effective ways to doing it than these militant marches and
no,
stuff
that
like
ruined,
this.
That hurts the cause.
You know, if you just be more rational about it and say, look, we're not asking, we're not willing to demean what you define as marriage, but mm-hmm. this is what we want. And do it on a more rational basis, I think that you'd chip away at that. And pretty soon it might get close to 50-50.
I think as time goes by, two things are going to happen here they're going to change that issue. And so that ultimately, I don't think you'll see as much discrimination against gays. I think one is, as time goes by, more and more people are friends with, have people in family, know people who are gay, and they're like, hey, you know.
Not that big a deal.
What's the big deal here? I mean, right. Come on, okay. Right. And number two is, if you talk to anyone under the age of 25 right now,
they
I think they really don't care about it. I think it is generational. So I think when the people who are 70 and older die off here in the next 20 years, and this next group comes into power here, I think the issue is going to be about over. And I think that's probably okay. I mean, I really wrestled with that issue myself. I had a meeting once. I'll just tell you, I remember I had a meeting with one of the first things I did when I got the AG's office was send. I said there no dis. We you know we had a hate crimes law that we proposed, which made me persona non grata
everywhere.
One of many things, but it was one of our part of our agenda was a hate crimes law, which included sexual orientation, and they were willing. Ultimately, the legislature's came to me and they were the leaders and they were willing to pass it if we would take out sexual orientation. So in other words, religion and all the other things could be in there, race.
All the other
age,
things you're born with.
Yeah. All the other things and but we had to take that out and they said, we'll get to that later. So you know, don't you want to take this here, you get most of it, but you don't get all of it. And I said, absolutely not, because you will never come back to it. It's all or nothing here. And so it didn't pass and then the next year it did pass. And we talked the governor into letting it. He didn't sign it, but he let it become law. And then they pick it at his house. And he got on the phone with me and said, what the hell? Bullshit. Why aren't they at your house? I don't know, governor. You're the governor. But anyway, I think it was a great thing for Arizona. My point is that we did that. We did, I said, there, you know, there'll be absolutely no discrimination whatsoever within the Attorney General's office, of course, relating to sexual orientation. That was kind of an odd situation because then I got an anonymous letter from lawyers saying, is that true? Because we don't know if that's really true or not. Will you put that in writing? Because we, you know, you say that, but so I did put it in writing. We made that is the rule. And it was very odd, you know. So they were uncomfortable stepping forward. Anyway, we did everything we could do. So I thought, hey, you know, the gay community, they got to think I'm
they
great,
love
right?
You.
Yeah, I got to. So I had a meeting with a really hardcore group. Forgot who they were, but it was in Tucson. And we covered those areas in about 3 minutes. And then they went to, how do you feel about adoption? And I hadn't really thought that one through. And then they said, well, what about insurance then? I mean, don't you think that for cohabitating, you know, partners, companies should be required to insure? Well, you think, you know, that was AIDS was much more of a big scare in the 90s. That could bankrupt a business person. I said, I'm not so sure about that. I don't think, I mean, within,
so
I
they
was
put lipstick
like,
and a dress on him and they threw him out the front door.
They were not happy. I mean, all these issues that I hadn't really thought through.
Oh,
and
shit.
I mean, adoption is a perfect example because I thought, well, yeah, you know, basically, because I had to do it off the cuff, I said, well, I hadn't really thought through that, but I think, yeah, it should be able to adopt as long if there's no one else. I mean, that was basically my point. That went over like lead balloon, you know.
Damn.
I mean, you know, so yeah, you get all the kids nobody wants. Well, we'll give them to a couple gay guys, you know. And as soon as I was articulating that, I thought, that doesn't sound right, does it? You know, that's not good. So
there's nobody
let me
else.
Think through that. So I did.
At least he was affable about it.
I quickly changed my mind on that one because it was like, well, you know, you kind of think that way. Like, well, you know, yeah. No.
As a last resort, of course.
Last resort, maybe we'll go that far.
Not the pick of the litter, but any ones that are left over.
Yeah, is it better than an orphanage? Maybe, I guess. You know,
depends on the orphanage.
It was not good. It was not a good meeting. I walked out of there, and like staff guys are going, hey, was that great? No, it wasn't. It was actually
that was like Chi-Chi.
Horrible. Yes, it was. It was.
Horrible.
Not horrible, that's right. Oh, hey, now we have to do this Woody here.
Oh.
Oh, does anyone here want to support... Cheney and how the vice president is out there just beating the drum here.
I thought part of the deal was when Bush left office with Cheney, we weren't going to hear from him anymore.
Isn't it ironic, though, that he didn't? He was pretty much in seclusion for 8 years, and now he's out there?
Yeah.
Or do you think maybe he has an obligation to be
out? Well, he got out of the wheelchair, and he has a voice. I mean,
I'm glad, though, because we haven't heard from Al Gore in the last 5 minutes.
I mean, I'm going to touch on this, and then we can discuss that here. And
is Cheney a repeat winner?
No, he's not. He could be, though. In fact,
should be greatest hits.
I had a lot of people emailing me, nominating him again, but I didn't do it. Okay, are we ready? Ready for this? Okay, drum roll, please, Danny. Come on. Okay, good. Today's Woody goes to Nevada Governor Jim Gibbons. You heard of him?
No,
he's great. Maybe the Republican Party can skip its next image conference and have an etiquette conference instead. It seems they've forgotten a few of the finer points of how to behave when you're out of power. I'm not talking about the typical mouth breather here on talk radio. Carl from Apache Junction on line 3 is pretty much a lost cause. I'm talking about the bigwigs, the elected officials, the party stars. They still don't get it. Dick Cheney hasn't learned the 12th commandment, that you don't leave office and immediately start hammering your successors. You don't see George W. doing that. Yes, I know. This would require he understood all the issues. And he would have to wean himself away from the SpongeBob marathon on cable. But just like the previous presidents and veeps haven't done it, they shouldn't do it either. Rush Limbaugh thinks about it for maybe 5-10 seconds and calls the next member of the U.S. Supreme Court a racist. And Governor Jim Gibbons of Nevada, Republican, stiffs the president this week by refusing to greet him at the airport. Governor Gibbons, you are now to remember him.
What a tool.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. That's Gibbon talk for those of you who know Gibbons. He's demanding an apology from President Obama for saying that corporate executives getting bailouts shouldn't be flying their jets off to Vegas. This statement, according to GG, has contributed mightily to the flattening of the Vegas economy.
Oh, that's it.
Oh,
so he won't
God.
Shake Obama's hand.
Yeah, they all canceled their trips.
Dear Governor Gibbons, whoop, whoop. When the president comes to your state, you go to the airport and you greet him. By the way, your state voted for him less than a year ago. They probably would like for you to treat him with some respect, even if you disagree with him. And your disagreement, by the way, dumb. D-U-M-B. People who are out of a job or broke have reconsidered paying $250 to see Celine Dion sing the Titanic song. They've got their own Titanic going. And after your 401k magically disappears, you don't have a C-note to see some Chinese acrobats vanish into thin air. Sorry. So Governor Gibbon, please show up at the Republican Etiquette Conference and learn some manners. Mommy, what is that Gibbon doing over in the corner of the cage? He's holding his Woody. Have you ever heard of Gibbon?
Yeah, oh yeah. Whoop, that's whoop, a pretty good impression. Whoop,
whoop. Yeah, I used to call Gibbons, believe it or not. That not was, so much in Phoenix.
That was the rare Lisa Gibbons, I believe. That we just did.
Actually, it's the Lar Gibbons. See, I do know my Gibbons.
Billy Gibbons.
Billy Gibbons. Lisa Gibbons. Lisa Gibbons, kind of hot. Yeah, I liked her. No, I'll tell you what, the weirdest thing, I used to do this a lot, but you can't do it in Phoenix, but you could do it at the L.A. Zoo, you could do it at the D.C. Zoo. Gibbons, apparently, I learned this in psych class in college, Gibbons, when they meet, a band of Gibbons. It's great. No, this is true. When they meet in the jungle, they immediately go to the highest point possible in the trees, and then they start to whoop. And they whoop like this. They go whoop, whoop, whoop. And get really, really loud. And then at the end, after they're whooping, they go whoop, whoop, whoop. And one of them gets the shit scared out of them and goes down, and the other one gets to pass by. That's how they work. So if you go to the zoo, now the Phoenix Zoo had Gibbon Island, and they're on the island, they're not scared. Or what? I'm not saying scared, yeah, but they're not interested. They look at you like, hey, dork, yeah, you know, knock it off. And it's not good if nothing happens, because then everyone's looking at you like you're an idiot, you know. But,
like you got Tourette's.
I've had this a number of times that you go there, and these friggin' Gibbons, they'll walk around, they're doing nothing. You're there, whoop, whoop, whoop. You got to do it for like 15 minutes. And that's a long time, you know. Yeah. People are walking by, get away from the strange man.
Right.
Get the kids away, you know. And then all of a sudden, I swear to God, they'll just give you a little look like,
what the?
Okay, we'll do it.
And then you'll hear a whoop, whoop. And then they go insane. And when they get to the end and they start going, whoop. They start swing. It's right out of a movie. They swing, grab the cages, go back and forth. Everything. My favorite time was
like Gibbon Tourette's.
It really was great.
And I mean, then a huge crowd. So I did this one time at the DC Zoo, and I mean, literally, I know we had 50 people. So,
oh
I mean,
my
it's
God.
So damn funny. Finally, I couldn't do it anymore. I was too tired. So I said, okay, that's it. You guys win everything. And I turned around, and as I'm walking off, I hear mad laughter from the 50 people there. I look back, and the two little Gibbons who I'd been hollering with had their hands over their head. They're strutting around. We are the champions.
Because you left.
Because I left. Yeah, I walked, and they were like, woohoo, I did it. They were so proud of themselves.
We walked.
It's fantastic.
I had no idea you were such a crocodile hunter.
You know, my buddy went on a game show once, and I was in the audience. It was, I forget the name of it, but it was a charade show. He botched the show up so badly. It was so embarrassing. It was not good. But anyway, so I'm sitting in the audience, and he's an idiot anyway. And so the host, I can't remember the host, Richard Dawson was on his team and a couple other people.
Richard
and
Dawson.
Forgot who the host was. Bobby Van, I think, something like that. And he goes, Steve, what do you do here in... he goes, well, I, and he just started making up shit, and then he says, and I'm famous for my Gibbon calls. and then he goes, what? He goes, you know, yeah. He goes, well, we'll do one. And so he starts going, whoop, whoop. And I'm in the audience. I went, whoop, whoop, whoop. That was the highlight. From there, it went right downhill. This woman annihilated him. Waitress engaged to a bartender, kicked his ass in charades. And there was the classic. They said... So she won really quickly. It was like, okay, you know, like a word comes up, and you've got to pantomime it out. And if you get it, bing, and then you go to the next one, right? So she cleans his clock the first time, but he gets 2 out of 3. And so she goes into the soundproof booth, and at the end of the thing, I mean, after he's done, so he's got to do well, the soundproof booth is going to move over, and the doors open, and you run down this ramp, and you're like going, yeah, 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 here I am, here I am. And the other contestant is supposed to go over and sit on these bleachers. Okay, so my buddy, he's down one game already, you know, and it was quick. Just boom, you know, he was terrible. Nothing happening. And so he goes the second time. She's in the soundproof booth. He gets two. That's right. He got two right. Not good. You need to get like 5 right. He gets 2. He's about ready to have the quickest appearance ever on a game show. Like maybe not even a commercial, and he's already off the show. So, here comes the champion. And the thing opens, and Steve runs up the ramp instead of going over to the bleachers. So there's like a collision. Like, oh, God. Oh, shit. Hey, Steve, come back here. He's all red-faced, you know. He goes over, slinks over to the deal, and the girl gets the first one just like that, gets the second one just like that. Now she has like 38 seconds to get one, right? And it was eagle, okay? And so they're flapping their wings, you know, and he goes, bird? Seagull? No, come on. We're going, now this is going to be over in a second. Hawk? Hey, come on. Bird? Oh, she's screwing it up. 5, 4, she goes, she had no clue. Bird keeps repeating herself. 2, 1, eagle, boom!
Oh.
She
hit.
And they had told everybody, when if you lose, you know, just go over and give her a nice hug and all that. And so everybody's, you know, around her, and they look, where's Steve? Steve is over on the bleachers, pounding the bleachers, literally laying down, pounding. No.
Why?
Steve, come
Why?
Back. So embarrassing. So everyone was like, hey, when's that going to air? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that'll make the air.
Never aired?
It aired. It aired, but we didn't tell anyone it aired. The highlight was the Gibbon call. Yeah. From there, he went right in the dumper. Yeah, not good. Wow. Anyone here been on a game show?
Nope.
My friend's wife was on a game show. It was awesome. It was, what's the one where you, Vanna White, Pat Sajak.
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune.
She was on that?
Yeah.
That's
and so
cool.
the letters spin around, mm-hmm. and it... the real thing was a bat out of hell, but they didn't have all the letters. And she's looking at it, and the time's clicking down, and she panics, and she goes, a hat out of felt? And, and of course, and she walks off with, like, Z-brick and a beanbag chair, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
To this day, whenever we're hanging out, you know, she's giving me a hard time. I go, hat out of felt? And just
well, I have to say, another
it's
time
pressure.
Another time, I went down with the same guy because he wanted to go on another game show.
Because he did so well.
Yeah, well, he lived over there, and so I said, I was over there visiting, and I was in law school. I said, well, I'll just go with you, but I'm not going to. Well, one thing led to another, and we ended up in this room. He knew nothing about trivia. He was terrible, but we just kind of did a bit. We were making up stories, you know. Oh, yeah, I remember the time we were riding the trains, and those hobos came over. Just total bullshit. But they liked us, you know. I said, okay, you know what? We're putting you two on High Rollers. And I said, no, not me. No, that's, to me, that is a nightmare. I will never go on a game show. No, you're on. You got to both go on or else he can't go on. Oh, shit. So I'll get out of it somehow. So anyway, make a long story short, we went down there that day, down to the studio, And they called me up, unfortunately. And I was actually defeated by a waitress engaged to a bartender, which was not good. But she was good.
A lot of problems with and the waitresses over there.
They have different life experiences than you.
Well, no, it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with, it just was one of those things. You know, what it had to do with, in High Rollers, they had these giant dice. And you had to roll the dice.
She held her dice.
They used to have Ruta Lee, roll 'em Ruta. But Ruta wasn't there, but Alex Trebek was the host. And Alex did not like me because I kept popping off about stuff. Like, what got me off on the wrong foot with Alex was you're supposed to, same thing. They said, whatever prize we show, you know, let's act like it's a good thing because, you know, it
That's
is.
It's a sponsor.
And it's a sponsor. I mean, give me a break, you know. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm in law school. I'm going to a new car, trip around the world. No fridge, you know.
Zip
good
drain.
Stuff. They had good stuff. No, knight's armor.
Hmm.
They had a knight's armor.
Is that the car wax?
No, a knight's armor. Steel thing. A knight's armor. Like, I don't know what you would do with it. And so the first time, so they show, hey, and here's our, let's go see what the prize is, a knight's armor. And if you, we have the tape somewhere. If you see my face, I'm like, what? You know, and I made some crack to this girl, and Alex goes, oh, Grant doesn't seem to like the knight's armor prize. And I said, oh, no, Alex, it'd look great in any room. And he's like, I was like, beat. Yeah, exactly. He gave me that look like, you jerk.
Yeah.
And I think they screwed me a couple times. I swear to God, the judge was like, ah, that was a little late. Yeah. Anyway, somehow I lost, and I can't remember what
but
it was.
Now,
we got to go to Hawaii, though.
Now, having been married, how many years have you been married now? That's not
18,
good.
This 19.
Pause,
you 19.
You're going to have to edit this in post.
19. 19.
After 19
five
years,
of the best years of my life.
You got to admit, after 19 years, a little knight's armor might come in handy. A little.
Yeah.
Hey,
knight's
honey,
armor.
Let's
nice
play,
prize.
Let's play knight and damsel in distress tonight.
Oh, God. No, that wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
No, that wouldn't
work.
I was
on Candid Camera once.
What?
Yeah, Candid Camera.
With Alan Funt?
Well, he wasn't there, but they taped
Not
us.
His kid. Remember Larry Funt, his kid?
Durwood Kirby.
I love Durwood Kirby.
Remember, he was on that show.
Yeah, Durwood Kirby was great. Yeah.
He was the sidekick.
With Gary Moore.
I was in college, and I was a broadcast major at ASU, and they put up a sign. ASU was in on it. They put up a sign that said, broadcast students needed.
Oh, no.
We're going to do an across-the-country radio show, so everybody has to come to the studio. On-air experience. This would be great. I'm like 12. You know, I'm really young. Too young to know any better.
12.
Well,
no,
all right, 19.
Yeah, 19.
So I get down to the studio, and there's like 20 ASU broadcast students.
You and Phillips went down?
No, he was a law school student at the time.
Sorry.
Thanks for asking and bringing it back up, jackass. And so they give us a script, and we have to go in and read it. And they said, now this is live, so whatever you do, you just have to keep going.
Right.
So they've got like a big boom mic that comes down from the ceiling, and there's two of us, and we're reading this two-part thing, and it's like 3 minutes long. So we're standing up, and all of a sudden the microphone starts falling, and we're looking at each other like, holy shit, what do we do? So we're literally we're on the ground at some point reading this thing, and then it starts rising back up. So
oh,
we have to
no.
get back. Then it goes up too high, so we're like this, and we're looking for chairs. What the fuck? And then we come and we get done, and the guy comes out. He goes, "I am really sorry. I have no idea why."
That's funny.
Why that? You know. So they just herded these kids, and some of them just started crying and left, and some of them. It was hilarious.
Do you have that on tape still? Because we can put that on the website.
You know, I will have to dig that.
That
up.
Would be awesome. Yeah,
that would be great. The High Rollers have been destroyed. It's not a good look Ooh. Either. The long hair, the mustache. It's not good.
Mustache.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I won my first 21 trials with a kind of Geraldo Rivera bad look.
kind of 80s porn, 70s porn mustache?
Dirk Diggler.
Yeah, that's even more accurate.
Harry Reams Woods.
I gave an opening, one of my first opening arguments I gave, a felony opening argument, said this guy's, whatever he's charged, burglary, I think, yeah, burglary. And his name was Artie Mejia, and so he's there, sitting there, of course, and the prosecutor, I mean, they caught him inside the house. That's not good.
I'm sleepwalking. That's yeah. what it is.
We had a bad defense, but we won, it was a bad defense.
Very bad.
But I give my great, you know, my passionate opening, and then I started out, I said, this is the most important day in this young man's life. And the next day, he didn't show up. He split. I said, well, that was yesterday. Today, not that important. And, of course, all my buddies said, he saw your opening and went, ooh, Get you out of here, man.
The power of now.
He called me at my apartment after they got the not guilty. He goes, "Ah, oh, Mr. Woods, it's Ernie." I said, "Where the hell are you?" He goes, "What happened?" I said, "Well, they found you not guilty." "What?" Yeah.
"But I did it."
No, I mean, he didn't say that. But
Ernie, you know, Ernie, stop.
This is bad. I mean, you know. Well, you know, he was found not guilty. There was a girl watching him. I think she was like 20 or something. And she was in the house, and he was casing the house. And so she watches him out the window case the house and calls the cops. And he kicks the door in, takes a step inside, and she goes, "Ah!" And he runs off. And his car, which had been backed into the driveway, it's not a good sign, doesn't start. That's not good. Wow. And they found him like a block later hiding under another car.
With jumper cables.
But he was found not guilty.
Wow.
Yeah, I did a top 10.
Nice job.
How'd you do that?
I did a top 10.
Was it the mustache?
Were you going sleepwalking? No, it was 10 things that Ernie did that no burglar would ever do. Now, I was hoping they wouldn't make the one little jump, which is Ernie's a dumbass. Ernie got caught. And they didn't. So that was good.
What was the defense? What was he there
doing?
That
was it.
No,
I said...
you didn't see the pizza he had brought.
No, I said convict him of trespass, because there's no evidence that he was burglarizing the house. He was just... I mean, we don't know what he was doing there, and Ernie's not here to tell us since he left.
It doesn't really count if you just get scared off.
Yeah, he just got scared off, so I get him for the trespass. The difference was the guy had been to prison 2 or 3 times, so he was going to go to prison for a minimum of 5 if he's convicted, and this way he got like 30 days. Or
something. Great.
Where is he now, do you think?
Prison. I don't know.
So you just be lucky. Inevitable.
I have no idea.
If he's lucky.
I have no idea where Ernie is. You know, I never saw him again. Well, I had to take him in to meet the judge. The judge wasn't happy. Oh, you know what? I remember that judge. That judge was a referee also, a WAC conference referee. And I thought, dude, Monday through Friday you're making the calls, and you got to go throw the flag. How about on Sunday at home with the wife? I'm throwing the flag on you, honey.
Clipping.
Guilty. Yeah.
That's not good. That's no, but you know what he did?
That's right, sure.
I'll tell you what, I remember it. I just thought of this. I just flashed on this. So the prosecutor rests. Now, there's no one in the courtroom. My client is not in the courtroom. He's been gone for several days, you know. And the judge goes, in front of the jury, "Mr. Woods, you may present your defense." I'm like, thanks, judge. So I stood up and I said, "Your Honor, if that's all the evidence the state has, we rest." So he called me back into chambers. "Don't ever do that in my courtroom again." I said, "What?" He goes, "You're making a mockery of it." I said, "Well, how about not asking me?
It is kind of a mockery.
How about not asking me, would you like to present a defense when there's not a soul around? Don't argue with me." I said, "Oh, okay, Judge, thanks." So no one was happy when
except
that jury
Ernie.
Came
Ernie.
Back.
Ernie was happy.
Ernie was happy. I was happy. I was happy because it wasn't my opening. Okay, anyway, enough of those tales. Well, anything else you'd like to report? Danny?
I was just curious if you had any thoughts about the fact that the state doesn't have any money to throw a 100th year anniversary party.
That's too bad. I
think that's rough.
I do feel bad about that. I think they ought to figure out a way to do it. Because
absolutely. They can do something.
They can do something, and they got to do something decent, not some half-assed.
You know, this is the last mainland state, you know, 48th state, and you know, before the, you know, they let those other ones in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's...
those other ones.
Well, I happen to have a house in one of them. I can talk about one of them that way.
You have a place in Alaska?
Yeah,
yeah,
he does. You can see Russia from his house.
Juneau. Yeah. Get it?
Yeah. No Jew.
I can see Alaska from there. Oh, that's another story. But I've called and asked a couple times, volunteered to
help. Yeah, you'd be
to
great
help,
to help.
And,
yeah.
I haven't gotten any return calls. But
let's check that out. We should get involved in
there
that.
There is certainly something that should be done.
Yeah.
When is it?
Hmm?
2 years.
Yeah, it's...
Well,
3 years.
2012.
Oh, things are going to turn around.
2012.
We're gonna
maybe
be,
you could get you two to come back.
Well, but the thing is, you got to plan these things out.
Be good.
Yeah, you got to be doing it now.
You got to be doing
how
it
about,
now.
What about just like a big block party and everybody brings a covered dish?
Potluck.
I like that. Well, that'd be fun.
The Great Arizona Potluck.
It doesn't even have to
but
be.
You'd have the wise guy.
Do it in the summer. Do it in the summer. Every dish is a hot dish.
Oh, Danny, speaking of that.
Yeah, let's coincide it with that concert.
Wait a minute. That's not your concert, is it? That Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson thing?
You mean where they're going to perform on the sun?
August.
The stroke
middle of August, and it starts at 5 p.m.
Perfect for me.
At Camelback Ranch.
In fact, that concert was arranged by my ex-partners from Chicago.
Are they insane?
Well, I'm just
is there any place in the world hotter than August 17th?
I think
5 p.m.
I think it's only the 12th, so it gets a little warmer by the 7th.
12. At 5. And did you see that it starts at 5?
Here's the only fact I have.
Bob Dylan may not make it.
Number one, on the previous Sunday, I think it's the 9th or the 10th, you're all welcome to come to the show in Albuquerque that we're doing at
indoors.
Journal Pavilion in a regular, nice concert facility. And no, it's outdoors. It'll be
nice.
85 degrees
okay.
there.
All right, I'm going to take you up on that.
All right, so come on over to the. I was planning on going to that. And then as far as the rest of it goes, the tour is of minor league ballparks.
Yeah, I got
all
that.
Over the country.
Okay, but that's not a minor league park anyway.
I think on that one, you know, you call us up and go, hey, maybe we could use your shed.
Yeah.
You got a roof there.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll do it indoors.
No, come on.
Maybe we compromise in Phoenix and do Chase Field.
Yeah.
Well,
it's still a ballpark.
You know,
and you close the roof and you cool it down.
Truth be told, I mean, that would be a lot of vacant space.
Yeah, it would.
I mean, it's a great, I think it's a great concert.
It is.
But,
I would,
here's the deal. Even if it was April, I wouldn't have that out at a ballpark, unless it was like a $10 ticket or something like that, because, I mean, it's all three acts are great. I've worked with all three. We just had Willie
yeah.
here at, in February. Or
yeah, did you see that Pootie died?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
That was sad.
Yeah.
He was just here. But, you know, it could be easy sour grapes for me to launch an attack on the entire thing.
We already have.
And,
yeah,
and I know
we've already done it.
You're into
it's
it.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It is absolutely insane.
I did see the thing you did something about. Who did the thing about the sun? You did that. Yeah. Was that yours?
Hey.
The surface of the sun was unavailable.
Yes.
It was booked.
Booked.
You know,
and you know what, Danny? They're going to get a middle-aged or older crowd also. They'll get some young people.
Yeah,
they're
going
to have at least
no one's going to want to go to that
Every
thing.
EMT in the valley is going to be busy.
Oh, my God. Plus, you know, they're all old themselves. Yeah. They don't want to be out there. That's insanity. That was the craziest thing. And then you see it starts at 5.
Yeah.
Doesn't even start at a normal time.
Well, you've
early
got
bird special.
You got three acts that are going to do at least 90 minutes each.
Wow.
And they probably want to have, it's a Tuesday, they probably want to have it done by 10 o'clock or
10:30. That sucks.
Well, you know,
I feel bad because I love, you know, obviously Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson.
We're faced with the heat problem during the summer. We do outdoor shows all the time. That one is a rough call. Now, if I was doing the show, I'd be sitting here defending it all over the place right now. But since it's not my show,
it sucks.
It's all in the marketing.
I might think that.
How could you market that? Mark could give you some pointers here.
Melanoma Festival.
You know, John Melanoma.
You know, for you, I'm thinking that a visit to the Dodge the same week and seeing Lyle Lovett
in
air conditioned comfort.
Wow. That'll
when
be
is
good.
Lyle?
He's the 13th. And Toby,
it always comes for my birthday.
And Toby Keith is the 14th. So, I mean, now Toby's outside, but that's a beer fest.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're
won't
all
start,
drunk.
And it won't
know.
Start till 8 o'clock either.
Plus, it's a lot cooler in a wife beater.
Yeah. With a cowboy hat. With a cowboy hat.
It is. That's right.
Oh, my.
It is. All right. Okay.
I love this bar.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey,
just to show you how easy it is to write comedy, I saw a headline the other day that had two words in it, and I wanted to see if you can make a sentence with the two words.
Okay.
Obama and Gitmo.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, this is like a game show.
It is? Okay.
You can make a sentence with that.
Mm-hmm. You do it.
Obama, get Mo out of here.
Mine was, I drank a 12-pack Obama myself, and now I'm going to get Mo.
That's good.
It's
that's
just
good.
So
that
easy
be
to be Larry the Cable Guy.
That could be a winner. By the way, your buddy Frank Caliendo, who we're hoping to have on the show soon.
Sure.
When's the show?
October 10th.
October 10th. You're
going on sale this Monday.
Okay. I heard him, and I like Mac and Gatos on KTR. I think it's turned into a good show. And
surprisingly good, considering it's Mac and Gatos.
No, come on now. You know I've always been a huge Gatos fan.
Yes. And
promoted Gatos over the years. Okay, but they had him on yesterday. I did get to hear that.
Right.
And they spent their time with Mac doing voices.
Yeah,
isn't that odd?
Well, you know, we went over to Ben and Matt.
That's not good.
We went over to Ben and Matt at KNIX, and you know Ben, he does an Obama.
Yeah, he's good.
You need an Obama voice. Mm-hmm. That's the guy. And they did some, but Frank actually respected you know what he does because
he does. He does that. That's part of his.
That's totally part.
I don't
of his
think
thing.
That's part of the other guy.
Yeah, I was there with him yesterday,
didn't
and
that, when that, that was
I was
a little
just
off.
Kind of off to the side, and I just kind of. You know, hey, look, the guy's an entertainer. He's on the radio. He gets paid to do it. And
yeah, I know. But I just—I
don't. You know, I.
But
sometimes
would you
when
do that?
Sometimes when I'm with a comedian, I have to hold myself back. I'm, you know, present company accepted. I don't want to start.
I'm booking shows.
It's hard. Yeah, right. It's hard to tell jokes to somebody that does that for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
And you don't want to, you know, patronize.
But this
him
is mainly what he does. I mean, it's what he's most famous for is doing voices. Yeah. So I would say, like, don't do voices to him. I mean,
it's like a hiring a painter, and then when he comes over, you go, "Give me the brush."
Yeah.
And then you get
yeah,
up there and
exactly
paint. Well,
the
main, why am I here?
The main, I know.
Exactly. The main thing was they said October 10th about a half a dozen
yeah,
times.
They did.
That's what
right
we were there
yeah
for.
That's right.
Hey, you know, you got a voice. Go ahead and let it rip.
And Frank has a hard time selling tickets. They go on sale October 10th. They'll be no sold by noon. They'll be sold out.
On Monday they go on sale.
Oh, they'll be sold
did
out by Monday.
We did four stations
noon
this morning. And he's totally on the Phoenix tour of media. So
and he lives here, right?
He lives in Tempe.
Cool. All right.
He's
okay,
a good guy,
we'll check
too
it out.
Very
okay
good, yeah.
Well, let's get him on. Let's go.
Let's get him on.
All right.
I'll drop him a little note myself.
Okay, guys. We'll let you know. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
All right. That's a show.
That's a show, right?
That's a show.
Definitely a show.